Good morning. The book of Romans is a document that's been said to be the most magnificent ever written because it covers such a broad spectrum of truth. The book of Romans is a summary of what God has done from the beginning of the world to bring sinful, alienated man back to himself. In the final paragraph of this letter, Paul brings it all together in these words, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever." Romans 16:25-27. As Paul brings this letter to a conclusion, he's going to emphasize some of the greatest truths that have ever entered our minds. He will speak about God, Christ, God's revelation to us, and our response to God. For Paul, God is at the center of everything. God has acted on our behalf in the world through Jesus Christ. But we would know nothing about it if God had not revealed His will to us. When we see that will, we will know how we are to respond to God. God is not only the creator of the world, but also the sustainer of it. He is involved in the world He made. He is at the center of the world in Paul's thinking. What does Paul tell us about God in the final paragraph of his letter? First of all, he says that God is everlasting or eternal. God did not begin with the world. He did not begin in the minds of feeble men. God has always been. He called the world into existence and made man in His own image. The psalmist put it this way in Psalms 90, verse 1, "From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." God was here before the world began, and He will be here when the world is no more. He is present now to help those of us who have come to love and obey Him. God is also wise. In God we find supreme intelligence. In His supreme intelligence, He worked out a plan for man and made it known to man. That plan is called often in the Scripture the wisdom of God. God's wisdom makes it possible for sinful men to be saved. He also says, "Now to Him who is able to establish you." God does not lack any power. He does not lack any strength to do anything that is within His nature and will. Obviously, God does not contradict His nature and holiness. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie, but God is able to do anything that is in harmony with His nature and will. That is the reason that His children may call upon Him in everything, being fully assured that He is able to do whatever is in harmony with His will. In Ephesians 3:20-21, Paul said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. If we let our imaginations run wild, we cannot think of a single thing beyond God's power. If God is kept from acting in one way or another, it is only because that action is outside His will, contrary to His nature. He says in verse 27, "To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever." The word that comes to mind is that God is worthy. God is worthy of our praise, devotion, and obedience of our lives simply because of who He is. In Revelation 4, John was given a view of heaven. He saw a great throne and the one who sat upon it. He does not give us a physical description of the one who occupied that throne, for God is a spirit. He does not have a physical body, but He is described with grandeur. Round about His throne are four living creatures. Beyond those creatures are 24 elders upon thrones. These elders are joined by countless angels. All give praise to the one upon the throne because He is worthy. Listen to them. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." The reason He is worthy is because He created everything and made man for Himself. God is worthy of our praise and devotion. After speaking of God, Paul reminds us in this last paragraph that God has revealed a message to his creature, man. We can know some things about God simply from our observation. We can look at this universe and say, it took great power to make the world. We can know that God is powerful. In fact, if we are to know God's will for us, we must have a revelation from God. God has revealed a message to man. What can we say about that message? Well, first, Paul says that it was a mystery. He speaks of God's mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. God had a plan in his mind from eternity. Neither man nor angel knew anything about it. God revealed it. It was covered. Therefore, it was called a mystery until God revealed it. When he revealed his will for man, it was no longer a mystery. Notice the word manifested in verse 26. God manifested or disclosed his message. He made it known to men. How did God go about revealing his plan for man to man? In verse 26, he said, "But now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets." First, God began to unveil his will for man through his Old Testament prophets. He revealed the message to them that he wanted men to know. He spoke his word, and they wrote his word down. That is what the Old Testament is about. The New Testament says, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. God, by his Spirit, revealed his message to his servants. In the New Testament, we have the same kind of revelation. God, by his Spirit, revealed his word. Men spoke that word and wrote it down for us. The Bible, therefore, is an inspired revelation from God to man. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, Paul says how those men of God received the message of God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The Holy Spirit came upon God's servants and revealed to them exactly the words he wanted written down. That truth tells me that when the Bible is properly translated into our language, we have the very Word of God. Then Paul, in this last paragraph of Romans, speaks of Jesus Christ, for the revelation of God concerns Jesus. In the Old Testament, the revelation of God said, Jesus is coming. In the New Testament, in the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we are told that Jesus Christ is here. In the rest of the New Testament, we are informed that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible is about Christ. He is the golden thread that runs from Genesis to Revelation. When God revealed his word to man, that word reveals Jesus Christ. What does God's revelation bring to us about Jesus? It is Jesus Christ crucified, dying for our sins, buried, raised again, glorified, and coming. We see our need of salvation when we think of our sins. Jesus Christ is the only answer. He came and died for our sins. Being buried, death could not hold him. He was raised from the dead, and he lives forever. As another point in this paragraph of Romans, Paul speaks of man's response to all that God has done in his revelation and through Jesus Christ. What is the key to man's response to God? The obedience of faith. Paul began this letter in chapter 1, verse 5, by speaking of the obedience of faith. Do you believe in the God who has revealed his will to man in the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world? If you do, how have you demonstrated your faith? In chapter 6, Paul said, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of teaching which was delivered, and being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. He said, you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine or the form of teaching. What is the form into which we are to put ourselves? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Paul said we've died to sin as Christ died for sin. He said we are buried with him in baptism into death. As Christ was buried, we are buried. He said, we're raised to walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised, we are raised. When we have obeyed the form of teaching, we become the servants of righteousness. It is man's response to God by the obedience of faith. God's great men and women of the Bible always manifested their faith by what they did. Faith is seen not by what one says so much as by what one does. Paul starts and finishes the letter to the Romans with the obedience of faith. What has your faith ever prompted you to do? Faith must always lead us to do the will of God in our lives. Let us remember that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them who obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. It is the obedience of faith that has an impact not only on our lives, but on the lives of those we touch every day. That is our response to his plan, which pleases God. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.